They're coming to get you. They're coming for you, Barbara.
They're coming to get you.
Coming to get you, Barbara.
This is They're Coming to Get You. My name is Brent Terhune.
My name is Gavin Eddings. And Brent, today we're covering a remake of one of my favorite movies of the entire ever made. I love this movie. We're talking about 1986's David Cronenberg's The Fly. But let's first, before we get into it, we have a tendency to sometimes go too hard, too fast. We're gonna really slide on in today. We're gonna wine and dine the audience.
Let's take it slow, baby. Not like The Fly.
We do want to give a shout out though. Last week we had a fun trivia night over on Patreon, and it was nice to like get to hang out in a Zoom meeting with some of our Patreon subscribers. And this was, I'm pretty active on Patreon hanging out. Brent, what was it like meeting these people who give us money every month?
I made me wish they gave us more money. No, it was good to see everybody, because you hear, oh, so-and-so wrote in and suggested that. And that, so you get to put a face with a name. And it was just an overall fun hangout. Because, yeah, we did trivia. But it was mostly all of us just taking, like, 2 hours on a weeknight and just hanging out. And it's weird to, like, you could be friends, air quotes, friends or internet friends with people I'd never met before, you know?
Yeah, it was really cool to, like, meet these people and, like, talk to them on Zoom. Just had a really great time hanging out there. And I will say, a lot of them were pretty... We got some pretty good-looking Patreons. We got some pretty good-looking patrons. So, no uggos in this group. So, thanks, guys, for being
there. Was
so...
one, but I'll let him or her decide who they are.
But it's a lot of fun. If you want to join the fun over on Patreon, you can. Patreon.com/ They're Coming to Get You. And I started something without Brent's knowledge. I was like, Brent, I did something.
What?
I started a Discord. I started a They're Coming to Get You Discord, which is, I finally learned how to do Discord, which is super cool. But if you join our Patreon at our lowest tier for just $2 a month, you get Patreon and you get Discord access. Then we have our $5 tier, which gets you Discord access to like our trivia nights, fun stuff like that. And if you want to be an $8 member of our Patreon at the Thanks for Bringing Him Up tier, you also get to have movie nights with us over on Discord, as well as getting bonus episodes on Patreon. There's a whole bunch of good stuff, but we wanted to really up the ante and really incentivize you guys to join our Patreon and really just join this fun little community that we've built. And
Gavin, I got my hand up. What is Discord?
Discord is a voice and messaging app, which is super cool. A lot of people do it when they online game together, and you can post like threads and messages and share GIFs and memes. It's really cool. It's a free app you can get for your phone or your computer. I posted how to get set up over on Patreon if you want to join our Discord server, and it's all automated by Patreon. So yeah, come join, hang out. And I do want to give a shout out to some of our newest Patreon subscribers. I believe they probably heard our Thriller episode that I released for free. Want to give a shout out to Mark, Carrie, and Conrad. Conrad is from the UK and said he only joined for a free sticker. So,
oh damn.
So Conrad, like I told you in your message, I will mail you a sticker, but I will be chanting USA the entire time. You limey bastard, you.
And it's a free sticker, but it's going to cost us $1,000 to ship it overseas. So you're welcome.
But it is nice that we are getting more people over on Patreon. So thank you so much. And it's a fun community. It's really fun, and you get to interact with us. And just, we've built a real sense of community for this podcast. And just, I consider like some of these people in our, like all these people in our Patreon as like friends.
Yeah, like, dude. I said air quote friends. But I meant friends, but you and me, we're air quote friends.
Yeah.
Even though you've stayed at my house or whatever. But it's like a community. And that's what we said on the trivia night thing, is even before we were done with the evening, we're like, we should do this again, whether it be trivia or a watch along or something, because it was so much fun to just hang out. And we all have a like interest, and that's horror movies. So, yeah. And some of us are like, we love the gore, and other people are like, we want elevated, and it's fun to talk and shoot the shit, essentially.
Yeah. So, and also congrats to Doug Solemn 69 for winning our trivia night. And just all the people that showed up, we want to give a special shout out to Michael Cayley, who is there. What up, baby? Yeah, what up, Michael? We got Aaron in there. We got Chanel, of course, who gave me shit. But if we don't set Michael, Mike V, up there in, I just call him like MVB. Just up there in Canada, joined us all the way from Canada. Yeah. So yeah, it's a good time.
And the rest, it did look like the Brady Bunch thing. Yeah. So
it was.
I know we're leaving names out. Yeah, but,
we love
it
all.
It was a
of
good
you.
Time.
Yeah, but and Cheeseburger Cavalier. If your name is Cheeseburger, we will give you a shout out.
But that's Robin, and I know we're leaving people out. But yeah, but I digest.
We're gonna name everybody. But yeah, if you wanna, we've talked a lot about this already. But yeah, join our Patreon, patreon.com/they're coming to get you, and that is our sell. That is our sell. It's just fun, and get on over there. But now let's talk about one of the grossest movies ever made. As we just gleck on this podcast. So this, we are talking about David Cronenberg's 1986 masterpiece, The Fly, which is a remake of the 1958 movie of the same name that had Vincent Price in it. Now, had you seen the original?
I had not. I had every intention of watching it before we did this, and I didn't.
Okay.
I'm not adverse to watching older movies. I like, you know, we've already covered one of the best remakes in one of our previous seasons, The Thing.
Yes.
And I do enjoy The Thing from Another World? I always get the title wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I like going to, and watching the earlier versions. I'm not adverse to most things, so... I when you said The Fly, I was not excited about it, Gavin. I'll be honest with you.
Why? Why are you not excited about The Fly?
I just don't like. I was talking with producer wife. I don't really care for body horror, and I know you love this movie. I bought a figure lot, like a horror NECA figure lot, from somebody, and The Fly figure was in it, and I sold it to you.
Yeah, because
that's how much I don't care.
I bought it from you for, I think, $100, and it's only worth $30, so I don't know why you upsold me.
That was the limited edition. It was signed by Brent Terhune.
Brent Terhune fly? Yeah, it was really cool of you to do that. But yeah, you did sell me that. It's one of my favorite figures, actually, and I was surprised that it held up, because it's a McFarlane Movie Maniacs, and those are the most brittle, shittiest figures. So for it to come in good condition, it was worth the $400 I paid you.
And it even has the little hairs on it, which is kind of gross.
Yeah, it does. I saw this movie for the first time probably in 2018, because it's just one that kind of escaped me. I heard it was gross, and I had seen David Cronenberg's other movie, Videodrome, but I was like, gotta watch The Fly, and I love Jeff Goldblum. So for me to have not seen this movie, it was a crime, and I watched it. It is deeply disturbing, incredibly effective, but I very much do I don't want to say I enjoy this movie, but I do like this movie.
Yeah, I think you like it a lot more than I do. And upon my second watch, I don't hate this, but this is not one that I'm going to put on. But I do think it's a fun, interesting concept. And I was introduced to the concept before even watching this movie from Simpsons Treehouse of Horror, VIII, number 8. That's how dumb I am, as I got to do 5, 6, 7, 8 in my head for the Roman numerals. If there's an analog clock with Roman numerals, I don't even need to know what time it is. I'm going to be late or early. I don't know. But there was the Fly versus... it's called Fly versus Fly. So Bart essentially does the fly. He does the transporting thing. They buy the transporters from Professor Frank. Pain in the glavin. And then it's the fly.
Yeah.
Know?
I was looking over my shoulder. I have the Treehouse of Horror Funko Pop of Bart as the fly.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I gave you a good deal on that. Only
$450. Everything is $400. I was like, why is everything so expensive?
I forgot I charge you $150 for the finder's fee.
So I had seen the original like way back in, I think maybe AMC Fear Fest or Monster Vision or something. Show the old 1958 one. Do you know the famous line from the original movie?
Is it, quite frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn?
That is it. That is it. That is exactly.
Or was it?
God, we're just making throat goat noises this entire podcast.
Nancy Reagan is our guest on the podcast.
We're going full Reagan on this one, baby.
No, I don't know the line.
Have you ever heard somebody go, help me, help me, help me?
Yeah, I think I heard it on The Simpsons.
Yeah, that's it, because in the original, basically, he turns into the fly. It's very cheesy. He has, like, the head of the fly and, like, the fly's arm, and he basically, like, tries to undo it, and they had to figure out, like, well, what happened to the rest of him? And he's, like, trapped in the spider's web, and he's about to get eaten by a spider, and they zoom in, and he's like, help me, help me! And then Vincent Price, like, crushes him with a rock. It's very disturbing, actually.
Okay, that sounds fun. I like a good bleak ending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the original, it's very cheesy, very late 50s sci-fi. This is everything that makes 80s horror, 80s horror. It's gory, it's practical effects. This came out a few years after The Thing. So the bar was set by The Thing, and David Cronenberg's like, bet. And I think he did a good job.
Yeah, I was... I didn't look up who, my time was limited this week, Gavin, but it was like I wanted to do a whole deep dive on this movie, but the special effects were great. They get grosser as the movie progresses, and this is why, part of it, I don't like body horror. I don't like a gooey character, and there's plenty of goo in this movie.
That's why you can't watch Willy Wonka. You're like, there's too much goo in this movie.
I love Willy Wonka. We could do that. We could do the just the tunnel scene.
Just the tunnel scene?
That's what people,
Side note about Willy Wonka. I know it's a few weeks old now. Have you been following the Glasgow, Scotland Willy Wonka?
Oh, yeah, where the guys, they set up like a Willy Wonka attraction, essentially charged a bunch of money, and then the people showed up, and it was the shittiest thing ever.
Yes, I am obsessed with it. And I'm obsessed with the character of the unknown, which is this creepy character that was created by AI for the event. I am obsessed with the unknown horror icon that was played by a 16-year-old girl in, like, a silver mask. I want an unknown horror movie. We're apparently getting that later this year. So
it's probably written by AI.
I cannot wait. But, yeah, Willy Wonka is one of the biggest sources of horror so far for 2024.
Are you a big Cronenberg fan? Because we've got Videodrome, we got The Fly, Crimes of the Future, that just came out a few years ago, Scanners. It's Scanners, the big head explode thing, right?
Yeah, that's the one that everybody uses in like their work chat as like when their boss says something that's mind-blowing. It's the Scanners head explode. I like David Cronenberg. I have to be careful because his son Brandon Cronenberg now makes movies. So I have to be like, did I say David or Brandon? Which one?
Yeah. I saw Possessor.
Yeah.
That was one. And I just said I love a bleak ending. Didn't love that one. Did not love that one. The movie's just fine. I'm not going to watch it again because it did make me feel good.
Oh, yeah. Did you see Infinity Pool?
No, I heard it's good.
It is also bleak. Friend of the podcast, Erin, wants us to cover Infinity Pool at some point because she likes that one.
Yeah, she wants more films.
More films on the podcast. And we're like, we're going to do The Fly right now. And then we'll get to... I do want to do more films like high art shit and foreign stuff as well.
But and then we're going to watch Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey.
Yeah, we're going to do that. I'm so excited to revisit that piece of honey-dipped poop. But I like David Cronenberg. I will say I've only seen The Fly and Videodrome, and I was probably way too young when I watched Videodrome that I didn't fully understand it. And it's hard now to watch Videodrome because it stars James Woods, and you're like, oh, he's just kind of the worst now.
He's in John Carpenter's Vampires, and he plays the shitty boyfriend in Casino, and he's perfect in that one because he's just a shitty, little smarmy character.
Also the voice of Hades in Hercules.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
So far as I can tell, great guy.
But do you like David Cronenberg stuff?
I mean, I started Scanners and I didn't finish it. And it was probably, it wasn't because I thought it was bad. It just one of those where I started and then I did other stuff and then life happened. Mm-hmm. So I pretty much, I've only seen The Fly. But I, as I mentioned, I'm not a big body horror guy and I know that's at least one of his things.
Yeah.
So that's... I just don't want to watch fingernails fall off. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, no, I get it. Body horror for me, as I get older and become more and more of a hypochondriac, as I can't grasp the idea of aging, mm-hmm. I'm just like, body horror freaks me out. Like, this idea that something has happened to your body that you cannot control. No matter what mm-hmm. you do, you're one of the smartest people in the world. You've done something so inherently fucked that you cannot fix it. Like, you can't just go to the emergency room and be like, oh, I'm sorry, I accidentally gene-spliced myself to a fly at a molecular level. Can I get some penicillin or some of that sweet, sweet oxy?
Yeah, they can't even fix a lot of diseases, let alone this new, I splice myself with a fly.
But you know what? If these psyops and these chemtrails keep going like they are, it's going to be all of us pretty soon.
You keep drinking that water with the fluoride in it. That's mm-hmm. how they get you.
Yeah,
thankfully, I don't drink water. So,
luckily, there's no fluoride in a sweet, sweet Mountain Dew Baja Blast.
Yeah, so this is my second viewing of this. Watching it, I love the score of this movie, and we'll talk about the story. Just my overall impressions. Love the score. Love the special effects. And from the jump, like, this movie starts and doesn't stop. It's felt pretty quick for a 90-minute movie.
Yeah, I forgot how quick it starts, because it starts with Geena Davis's character. Also, this cast, very good. And by that, I mean it's Jeff Goldblum and Geena Davis, and this is Geena Davis and Jeff Goldblum in the 80s, which, I don't know, I think Geena Davis hadn't done, I don't think she had done Beetlejuice yet. I think that was maybe 2 or 3 years later.
That's but, one, by the way, so.
Okay, and then...
you said it once.
Okay, good. And then I don't know... and then Jeff Goldblum, he wasn't in Beetlejuice. So that's two.
I will say that... God damn it, don't do it again. I will say The Fly finds a way.
Yeah. Can we talk about Daddy Jeff Goldblum for a second?
Oh, yeah, Zaddy.
The first time I watched this... I've always thought Jeff Goldblum is a very handsome, weird, eccentric man. One of my absolute favorite actors. I love the way he delivers lines. He's got some of my favorite movies. And he just, and we kind of got a little bit of that sexy Jeff Goldblum in the first Jurassic Park when he's on there, got the shirt open. Mm-hmm. He's fucking Brad Pitt in Fight Club in this movie. Like, God damn,
he's
Jeff
not
Goldblum.
That ripped. He's not stop. He's
he
not
is.
That.
When he's wearing them tidy whities as a straight man, I'm like, you know what, Jeff Goldblum, you can get it. You can. Life can find a way into this bussy.
Well, I will say that I asked producer wife, I said, what do you prefer, Jurassic Park, Jeff Goldblum, or this one? Because there's no mistaking that he's a handsome guy.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she prefers current day graying Jeff Goldblum. And look, he's like 70-something. And we looked at a picture of him. He looks better than all those right now at 70-something. Yeah. He looks so much better. So much better, but he's like Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
Like, just has gotten better with age.
Mm-hmm. Like a fine wine. I like the way you ask your wife, do you want Jurassic Park or The Fly, Jeff Goldblum? And she goes, I want apartments.com, Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, that's what she wanted. She wanted that one because she prefers, you know, a little silver fox. So, of course, she's going to get that with me and my red hair. And that's also falling out. So, that's good.
Yeah.
Hey, I want somebody that's nothing like you, husband. That's what I want.
But you know what? You already got you got her locked down by law. She can't go nowhere now.
Yeah, she can't. I can't. I'm not going to grant her a divorce. I'm going to behead her just like King Henry. VII. I think it's three I's.
Isn't that a Ying Yang Twin song?
V-I-I-I-I.
Fun fact, that song is about Henry VIII. I don't know if you know that. Ying
she
Yang
got
Twins.
Her hands down on her knees and her head in a basket.
No.
Yeah, who would have thought we'd have a King Henry VIII Ying Yang Twins mashup? But
that's
here
just
we
what
are.
You get here for just $5 a month at patreon.com. I would love to do a history class by the Ying Yang Twins.
You remember they do that noise?
Yes.
We would do that, and so if you don't know the Ying Yang Twins, they're just one guy that in every song just makes this noise, and it's just that noise. And so we would walk down the halls of my high school singing John Mayer, but also just making that noise for no reason.
Yeah.
I don't know what significance the noise has. I think it's stupid, and that's why it's funny to me.
Love it. I love it. And now that was our deep dive on the Ying Yang Twins. This is
Let's objectify the scientist, because, man, he's not hanging dong, but they had some pretty creative shots to not show his weenie.
Yes. Good on Jeff Goldblum for getting in shape like this. And he was 34 when this came out, and he looked so much older. I don't know if people look better now or if they just looked worse back then. Mm-hmm. But Jeff Goldblum, he looked old for 34. But damn, man.
That's what I've heard about me. So. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. He's not going to gold bloom into a rose. That's for damn sure.
I'd kill to look like old Jeff Goldblum by that 34-year-old Jeff Goldblum.
Just any Jeff Goldblum. Just, yeah. Jeff Goldblum was 34. But yeah, they do some really interesting things to hide his dong. Where mm-hmm. when he's in the teleporter, he's like, almost like when the Terminator comes through time. Like,
yeah.
Terminator poses.
He got his, like, leg over his weenie. I'm trying to bring back weenie, by the way, so.
You're trying to bring back weenie? You're like, the year of the dong is over, which mm-hmm. happy Chinese New Year to anybody who celebrates the year of the dong.
I've been writing weenie on all my checks, if I could use that old joke. That hackneyed joke at this point, but.
But yeah, he looks good, and then he starts doing when he merges with the fly, he starts doing like all kinds of gymnastic shit, and I'm like,
yeah,
my God, how much of that was Goldblum? How much was actually him?
I bet it was all Goldblum. He's a method actor, so he did practice throwing up for months before.
He's like, I just want to, he's like, life finds a way. Can you just make me a fly? Do it. I want to do it. Do it.
Well, that was the thing as I asked producer wife, I said, so first off, let's go back. Let's talk about the experiment in general. He's got essentially a teleporter, a transporter.
Yes.
And how that would change the world. Like, this is the kind of stuff that if you, like a big, like, let's say Ford heard about that, Gavin, in your basement, you're working on a teleporter. Next week, we'd find you dead because you shot yourself in the back of the head. This would change the world, be it cars, or air travel, the oil industry, we would not need any of that essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So, what this guy's working on is will change the course of history.
Yeah, and I love that he's doing it in the most dilapidated warehouse where RoboCop fights Clarence Boddicker.
I was gonna say that was the exact warehouse where. The green stuff fell out and melted that guy.
Well, I don't know if you could hear it in the background of one scene when they're doing the experiment. Mm-hmm. You actually hear RoboCop hitting that man.
That's true. you could hear Red Foreman say, "Can you fly, Jeffy?"
And he's like, "Not yet, but give me time." Give me time,
Red Foreman, dumbass.
I do want to say, before we get to everything, he turns into a fly and doesn't even get to fly. He doesn't even get, like, the one part of a fly you would want to have. He gets all the gross shit, which we'll go into vivid detail on. He gets all the gross shit of being a fly, but he doesn't actually get to, like, fly. That's like that's a bad deal for Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, I think to paraphrase the Mitch Hedberg joke is they almost called it a land because that's what it does half the time. He got the land part of the fly.
Yeah, but he's trying to change the world in like his basement, and he like those are some nice ass teleportation pods.
It's one of those where it's not really important how we get to the teleportation or to the technology because it's not really about that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just all we need to know is it happened and we can move on from it. But this technology that he's trying to make is crazy because he finds out that he can move like inanimate objects but not living creatures.
Mm-hmm. And that's like the whole point is like he wants to be able to teleport people so he can change the face of the world, make transportation easier, things like that. And I love that he reveals this to Gina Davis's Veronica character because they like meet at like some sort of like mixer for physicists or scientists, something fancy. Mm-hmm. And like you said, movie starts out really hot. You're already at the party. You meet the characters. And then within 10 minutes, he's got her back at his apartment like, hey, check this shit out. And he doesn't even know she's a reporter. But I love that his opening line to try to get laid was like, hey, check this out. I built a teleportation machine.
Yeah, and he even shows it to the lady later in the movie. It's like, that's his thing. If you're willing to go back to the warehouse, he's got you, but you just got to get over the whole warehouse part.
And the way that he does it and, like, seduces her, he's like, do you have any piece of, like, jewelry I could try to, any, like, anything super valuable on you that I could, like, try to teleport? And she's like, no, here you go. And she takes off her leggings, and I'm like,
damn, okay. Gina.
That's one of my things, okay?
Oh, you're getting erect right now.
I am
So you like a good stockinged leg?
I do.
I don't know what you'd call it.
I like a girl wearing a Christmas stocking and nothing else.
I found my present. It's the woman.
Just the way she hung there halfway out of the stocking over the fireplace.
upside down because, you know, it's a...
It's like, gravity. Merry Christmas. Like, why is your foot in there with assorted candies? Like, you could have just had you. But yeah, I like me some nylons, okay? Listen.
Okay.
I like it. It's a thing that does it for me. Gets my wheels turning.
The thing is, I don't dislike that, but that's not like a... we were talking off mic. That's not my Quentin Tarantino foot thing.
I've known you for so long, and you're very much not a kiss and tell guy. So I don't have the faintest idea after 10 years of friendship what your thing might be.
I got a titty fetish, baby. That's what I like.
you like a big old set of tits.
I didn't say big. I just said titties. Don't judge me.
No, man, I like it. But yeah, it's like, I could not, I don't know what it is. But I have never seen science so horned up and fuckable.
Yeah, well, of course, you know, we got Jeff Goldblum and then we got Gina Davis, which I didn't know that they were married. Of course, the movie was on and I'm looking, doing my IMDb and all that. And I didn't realize they were husband and wife for a little while.
I didn't know that either.
Yep, it was the year after this came out. So
okay. But yeah, if you're going to be seductive and be like, show me how to teleport, using your legging and like showing the whole leg off and be like, okay. Mm-hmm. I respect his game, though, trying to get laid with science. Good on him. And then he does the thing and she's like, oh, shit, I'm a reporter. I'm going to report this. And he's like, no, please don't do that. And
I'm just trying to get laid. I'm not trying to get it in the papers.
I'm not trying to keep it out of the papers. But then we also meet the villain of this. Would you say that this guy is like the villain? But he's really not. This Stathis character, who
Evil
is...
Evil John Ritter?
No, Evil John Ritter is just John Ritter in certain roles.
Yeah, and Bride of Chucky.
Yeah, or Bad Santa.
Yeah, that's true. I guess the boss.
Mm-hmm.
Or I guess we can call him the boss.
Yeah.
The editor guy. He starts out as heel and then he does a face turn in the middle of the movie because he's a real asshole.
Yeah.
And then he's there for her when she needs it the most.
It's a real wrestling double turn where he turns face and Seth Brundle turns heel.
When Jeff Goldblum had him in the sharpshooter.
And stayed this wooden tab with the blood pouring down his face.
We gotta stop doing so many wrestling.
I know.
References.
Did they just reference Bret Hart versus Stone Cold Steve Austin at WrestleMania 13? Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
We did. And that it's on you to learn. It's on you to learn and to keep up.
At the end, they should have had Goldberg come in and kick the fly in the head.
It's never not funny. It's always funny. But Stathis, he's just kind of there, and immediately she's like, hey, this guy has this teleporter, and he's like, he's a magician.
Yeah. I could see this would be a trick that somebody would do.
I've seen The Prestige. There's teleporting men. Yeah. But I've also never seen a magician get so much respect in a movie. They're like, no, he just must be a magician.
Yeah.
Like what? Like somehow they would rather respect him as a magician, a professional liar, by the way. That's mm-hmm. all magicians are, professional liars.
Lie to me, Daddy.
Yeah.
Lie to me.
Do some card tricks. Close up. The things with the rings and the scarves. Love it. You know I love scarves now and stockings.
And leggings. And, yeah. Lie to me, Penn and or Teller.
But they would rather him be a magician than an actual physicist who's discovered teleportation.
Yeah. And do you think, like, of course, it goes back to, like, that Star Trek thing of, you know, they had the communicator things, and now we all have that, essentially, phones.
Mm-hmm.
The Jetsons, we have Zoom, where mm-hmm. you could see, like, how close do you think we are to teleportation? Because that's got to be coming, right? Or at least people are trying to do it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a real learned boy. I like to think
I'm not either.
I like to think that I'm really into science, which is why the Earth is flat. But
yep.
I like to think that I believe all science, which is why I don't drink the water, as we said earlier. But I don't know how it would even work. It seems like to tear yourself apart at a molecular level and put yourself back together at a different level just mm-hmm. seems like... It seems super dangerous. It seems really, really scary.
Well, and like even if he never mastered, you know, teleporting living creatures, can you imagine how that would change Amazon? Like, forget like Amazon Prime where it says your house in 2 days. I clicked on it and I want my shit now.
Mm-hmm.
Like they'd send it via teleporter.
Well, I remember in one of my college classes, I think it was some ethics course or something, about how if people were to make the replicator from Star Trek, which is kind mm-hmm. of what we're getting now with like 3D printing is kind of where we're kind of close to.
Yeah.
If they made a replicator that could make food or mm-hmm. anything.
Lab-grown meat, we have that now.
Yeah. If we had any, if the replicator was real... It would last for probably a week and a half before it got banned by companies like Nike or any of these huge companies. Because if
he shot himself in the back of the head, Gavin.
Exactly. It would be banned. People don't care about... I don't want to become a conspiracy podcast, but I do think that there's probably more medical breakthroughs that are out there that we don't hear about because it's probably more cost effective for the companies to not cure
treatment.
Something as to treat it. I don't want to get... Listen, all I know is JFK shot himself in the back of the head.
And from the grassy knoll, and that's why the towers fell.
But if you could teleport and do this, I don't think Ford or Toyota or any of these companies, Boeing especially, you don't want to fuck with Boeing right now.
Nope.
They would not let this happen because it would make all of these businesses completely obsolete.
Yeah, it's you know, when you hear of alternative energy, the oil companies don't want that. They don't want you horning in on their racket, you know. So it's like this stuff would have, thank God this guy was crazy.
Yeah.
He got drunk because he got butt hurt
because
his girlfriend left. And then he transported himself. So he a fly gets in the thing. First off, we need to talk about his baboon budget because he just... He's got loose baboons running around. That can't be safe. And he's talking to one like it's his friend. If you had a pet, Gavin, if you took your cat and you said, let me use my cat to transport it, and you just saw a bloody paw print on the inside of the transporter, wouldn't you just cry for like 3 weeks?
Yeah, I would cry a lot. That would be really sad. But this, but he's like, whatever, throw another baboon on the bobby.
He's like, sorry about your brother. And I'm like, man, I never related more to a baboon in my life.
Yeah. And
thanks
yeah,
for bringing him up.
It was really tragic how your brother was trying to teleport himself and how he
we're finally ready to talk about it. This is why I don't like this movie, because that's how he... It was a transporter accident. And by that, I mean Jason Statham. The movie The Transporter.
He was supposed to cut air holes in the trunk, and he didn't. He didn't cut air holes in the trunk.
But, like, I don't even know where we're going with that. Like, so he's got the baboon budget, and he's getting funded. But, of course, his stuff, he said, he doesn't cost a lot, so nobody's even asking what he's doing.
Yeah, that's got to be the life. And you hear about this a lot with, like, video game companies, like these huge video games that come out, like Mega Man or Resident Evil or something. These are like games that like the company was working on bigger games, and they're like, whatever, just go make your dumb thing, and then the dumb thing becomes like the biggest thing ever. So he's like,
with horror movies,
yeah, they're like, whatever, just go make whatever you want, John Carpenter. You want to make you want to make a movie on Halloween? Whatever. Here's $100,000 or whatever.
Blair Witch. Yeah,
but. That's gotta be nice though, to like have no overhead but still get to do what you want to do.
Can you imagine how expensive it is to power the teleporter thing?
Yeah, I think. And I, going back to it though, how much are baboons?
Let me give that a Google and see if we can. Maybe we can use our Patreon money to get a baboon.
How much is a baboon for experiments?
Ethical.
Nope. I'm getting a baboon just to test cosmetics on it, okay? Maybelline may have stopped, but Gavin has not.
I'm on Reddit. The headline is $475 a fair price to rent a real baboon for a week? With the strike, we still need to make this movie, but I need to know realistic baboon rates.
I've got the New York Times, that liberal rag. The New York Times from 1975, apparently the monkeys for things cost like $40 back then.
What? I should have a monkey. That's what happened at the beginning of Nope. That's how you get the movie Nope, which we need to cover.
Oh, yeah. When you just have
the thing with the monkey on there.
Yeah. So I think we have some money. If I check the Patreon right now, we have enough money in there to buy a monkey.
Dude, we got baboon money. I'll get it for a week and you get it for a week?
Yeah, we'll just, what could go wrong with us owning a baboon?
Well, dude, just do like custody. We'll just drop him off at a Walmart parking lot. Like,
it's got to be a gas station on the highway. It can't be Walmart.
My lawyer's got to get with your lawyer. We'll have a custody battle of the monkey.
Listen, I'll see you every other Sunday at the Dollar General off the highway, okay?
And boy, was his ass red.
Yeah, well, there's actually a part in there that was cut because he does send a baboon through the transporter, and it turns into out to be just like a pile of goo.
Inside Out is what he said.
Yeah, Inside Out, which is not as much fun as the Pixar movie at all.
No, it's a dead baboon.
And he goes to it, and there's a scene later after he splices together. There's a deleted scene where he takes the good baboon that does make it through. He takes that baboon and puts a cat in there with it, and he like splices the cat and the baboon together. It was
Caboon?
Yeah, Caboon. It was cut from the theatrical cut, but if you watch the deleted scene, it is fucking gross.
Is it? That's real?
Yeah, that's a real thing. Yeah, that's a real thing. It's a real deleted scene. I have the Blu-ray, so I watched it.
I had to rent it on Amazon. Thanks for choosing a movie that is not streaming. I don't know if I own this or not, but I wasn't at home so when I started it.
I think I picked this up at a... I think they had this at like a Dollar Tree on Blu-ray when we were doing our monkey exchange. I went in for a minute while I was waiting for you.
You know, I was late. Getting that thing in the car seat is just a hassle. I was going to ask, so let's say, Gavin, you're Jeff Goldblum, and you know that you could have another animal and then become a hybrid. You're an animorph. What animal are you going to spice yourself with?
Who?
I asked producer Wipe that, and I think I agree with her, because she said probably some kind of bird where you could fly. Or she said some kind of, like, hybrid land-sea animal so you can explore the ocean.
I would go with, La Tigra, probably.
The tiger?
Yeah, I've been doing Duolingo and trying out my Spanish right now.
Yeah, tigre.
Yeah, my mind immediately went to tiger. I don't know why. That's where my mind went. So where would you go?
Either like some kind of big bird. Like, I get a pterodactyl, I think. No,
I hope you just got Big Bird from Sesame Street.
Yeah. Hi! I'd just be too large to fit in anything. I would either be like some kind of eagle or something like that. Or maybe if I was not sure if it was going to go wrong, maybe like some kind of gorilla, because I know they're kind of similar to us. So I could at least be strong or something, you know?
You're like, if something goes wrong, at least I can't control any of my emotions, and I love bananas, and I can't stop masturbating everywhere.
And I know sign language. Call me Coco.
Friend, apple. Eight strong together.
I don't, like, that's another, this movie could go like eight different ways. They could have taken this, and then, like, now he's making... Island of Dr. Moreau type mashup deals.
Yes.
Where it's that's going to be the new, Brazilian butt lift is I want to be spliced with my poodle or something, you know?
Well, I mean, again, people are already doing this. Like, there's that lady that paid like $1 million trying to make herself look like a cat. You've got
shits in a box. You could shit in a box for free.
Yeah. I mean,
they're doing it in the classrooms right now, Gavin.
I was going to say, public school bathroom, my nephew's friend, his aunt, said they got them litter boxes in the school now. They are shitting a box because these kids, they're identifying as cats, birds, dragons, liberals.
I want to be a real life furry is what I want to be.
Listen, I've been to a lot of anime cons. I know plenty of furries. They are all very nice people. It is not for me. If that's for you, if you want to be a furry in the confines of... wherever, you go for it. But I know it's not schools.
Did I talk about on this podcast how I met a scaly?
No, what's a scaly?
Well, I was doing a stand-up show for the show Ghost Hunters, like that show that's on TV. Like the people that were on the show were at the show, and then they have like satellite groups across the country that will go and investigate the place before the show actually goes there. And I did the show, and then they had like an after party, and this guy's walking around. He's got, you know how like, you remember how like those slippers that look like bear feet?
Yes.
Or like, so he had like, they were dragon feet essentially, and he had hands, and he had a, like a dragon head. And I said to producer Wife, I said, look, that's a furry, no judgment. I don't care what you do. And from inside the mask, he goes, I'm a scaly. So it was a, you know, it's a furry, but he was a dragon. And pardon me for not knowing what thing you are. I'm sorry. I didn't know the term scaly.
Did you ask him to sing?
What should I have asked him to sing?
Just something so that when you should have had him sing something so you could have guessed who it was inside the costume, like the masked singer.
Oh, yeah. you know, it turns out it was Ken Jeong. That's who it was. So.
I was going to say Ken Jeong, actually. But yeah, scalies are that's a new one. That's a new one. But yeah, you got to be careful, like, because I know some furries that they're very nice, but you got to be careful. You can't be going around misidentifying furries, because there's a furf war between the different ones.
Yeah, I called some guy a weasel, and it turns out he was a stoat. They don't like that.
So you'd be a big old bird if you did this. Yeah, I do think, though, I think people, though, are going to do... I think they're going to gene splice and just be birds and shit. I've been playing Cyberpunk 2077, and it's all about, like, modifications and shit.
I mean, I don't know. I think we're a ways off from any type of this type of technology in the fly, but... If you can dream it, I think somebody's probably working on it, right? Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But yeah, the thing happens. He tries it. He gets drunk. He gets real sad. But first, Jeff Goldblum fucks in this.
My man.
My man. He gets that dick wet.
On a pull-out couch.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't. They don't care. You know what? I've learned I've lived in some bad places, too. If a girl likes you enough, she will come back to your studio apartment in the worst part of town just to get a little stink on the hang low. Am I right? Am I right, lady?
If I could high-five you through Zoom right now, I would.
You know what's up. You know what's up, player. Playboy.
Put on the stockings, baby.
It's Christmas time.
Santa's trying to come down your chin. That's gross. I won't edit that out.
Please keep it. Yes.
Yeah, she seems to be pretty infatuated with him, and he's putting the moves on her.
Mm-hmm.
And they end up hooking up, and for some reason there's some kind of weird gear thing in his bed that mm-hmm. cuts him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we get the first signs later of the fly, the little hairs and growing in the back.
I can't tell you how many times I've had a girl over, and we make sweet love for like 6 hours or whatever. And
oh, yeah.
And then I roll over and I lay on a Lego and I'm like, oh man, mm-hmm. did I ruin the mood? She's like, no, baby, you fine. You good.
We are in a pullout couch made out of Lego. So.
I am wearing a Lego head right now as well.
I'm a Lego-y. Not a scaly.
After we get done here, I have to go do my job doing construction.
Everything's awesome. Yeah, so they make love. It sounds weird to
yeah.
say, but they do. And then, so then she realized, like, she leaves to go talk to her editor or something, right?
Yeah, she goes to talk to her editor, who is her ex-boyfriend. And like we said, I know we made a lot of wrestling over there. He's an asshole. He's not over her. He's, like, in her apartment and stuff. And by the end of it, he's really just trying to look out for her because she notices, like, oh, this guy's not great. And then I can't remember why he gets mad at her for leaving. Or I can't remember.
I think it's because she went to go essentially meet her ex-boyfriend and he couldn't handle it.
Okay, yeah. So this is actually, watching this, and this is going to sound so dumb. Because I guarantee you this was not the intention of David Cronenberg in 1986. But because of his toxic masculinity and not being able to do this, he turns himself into an actual monster. He gets into
Jeff Goldblum you're talking about.
Yeah, Jeff Goldblum. He gets into the pod. There's a fly in there. And you'd think that this machine would have like some kind of like failsafe. Like there's more than one thing in here.
What if that stocking was in there? Her pantyhose. What? Then what? You
then
know?
I met my new wife. Am I right?
That's right, baby. Mm. Like, you think it'd have some kind? Because I was telling producer wife, I was like, "Do you remember when computers were just that black screen with green or orange text?"
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? Like, but then like way back in the day in movies, those computers are super like so much more advanced than our computers.
Yeah,
so much faster, even the ones that we have today.
Yeah, he's asking this computer. He manages to go through the whole process, and this machine, in its primitivity, in its primitive state, is like, oh yeah, by the way, we fused you at a molecular level. And at that point, I'd be like, no, didn't ask you to do that.
Yeah, Yeah.
You took it upon yourself, machine, to think that's what I wanted, and it is not what I wanted. Also, why is that programmed into it? Why is that like an accidental thing that can happen?
Yeah, just take over and call the shots. Just become AI, essentially.
It's like if you put your it's like if you were popping popcorn and all of a sudden you open it up and the popcorn then has a gun and the microwave's like, I thought the popcorn wanted a gun. I thought this would make it better.
I spiced you with the popcorn. They should remake this with Orville Redenbacher. Where he becomes popcorn.
Once he pops, he can't be stopped.
But it's got that little bow tie. That's how you know it's Orville.
But he becomes this fly, and then he's able to like go back and be like, "Hey, computer, what happened there?" And like, "Oh yeah, there's a fly in there." And he's like, "What?"
Because at first he was able to do the baboon because he figured out he sent the steak through, and he realized that the steak didn't taste right.
Yeah, and I would have sent food through or something like that. Like I would have sent actual like living tissue or meat through first before sending a whole ass baboon. He spent $40 on. That's $40.
He's not going to get that deposit back because you know he rented it. That's a rental.
That monkey thought it was going to be an Orkin grinder's friend, and instead now it is inside out and full of feelings. But yeah,
do a mouse or something.
Yeah,
first.
Do so. Well, why are you starting with a baboon? That's a big that's a big ask for any machine to be like. Are you sure you want to do a baboon first?
So he goes through, and of course the fly's in there, and then we get somewhat slow but fast transformation of. He's getting essentially what super strength and powers and senses right off the bat.
Yeah. At first it's like, this is awesome because he just thinks he went through the machine and it's given him like, it's like shed him of any imperfections, which I don't know what imperfections he had before because he was looking good before the machine.
My man.
So he goes through and he thinks he sheds it. It's not until he starts getting like actual fly parts. He's like, something may have gone wrong with this.
Oh no, my fingernails are falling off.
I do want to say the most relatable thing about this movie is Gina Davis asks him at one point, do you ever change your clothes? And he opens his closet and he has five of the same suit. And that is incredibly relatable because now when, as an adult man with a Costco membership, when I go to Costco and I see there is a shirt that I like, I will buy that shirt in every color because I know it will not be restocked. And it is just how I live now as a man who loves flannels.
I do that with pants. I found the pants that I like. So I have about 8 pairs of the same black jeans that I like.
We like
I think
to call
that's an old man thing.
Yeah, we like to call that the Dylan Farnham look.
I call it the Doug Funny look.
Yeah.
Remember Doug?
Yeah.
It's a cartoon character closet.
So that is actually a deep cut Doug reference. Dylan Farnham. There's an episode of Doug where he wears the same thing every day, green sweater vest, khaki shorts. Well, there's a heartthrob on TV named Dylan Farnham who wears the same thing as Doug. So Doug, the entire episode, is accused of wearing the Dylan Farnham look.
Oh, damn. That's a deep cut. That's like you're learning way more than you wanted to on this show.
Listen, Dylan Farnham is my Roman Empire. I think about it way too much. It is also he has Sky Davis shoes at one point. I remember too much about Doug. So much Doug.
It's a good show. And also, I mean, didn't Steve Jobs literally do that?
Yeah.
Jeans and a black turtleneck
Black turtleneck. Needed a chain, though. Really needed to set it off with a chain.
Yeah, and it'd help if he didn't yell at his employees so much, but...
But you know what? For just the cost of some shitty employees' mental health, we got the iPad and the iPhone, man. So I think it was worth it.
Yeah, I'm going to go yell at our interns. See if we could turn the show into a powerhouse.
So let's talk about the transformation. Starts off real small. He's got hairs. Then all of a sudden he notices like he's getting real scaly. Also, apparently if you're a fly, you are even more horny than before.
That's Spanish fly, is it not? What is that? I don't know what Spanish fly is, but it sounds like it.
Is that you know,
what? That's is that something that Bill Cosby gave those women to pass out?
It's a song by Van Halen. It's all Duolingo hasn't taught me Spanish fly yet.
Is various aphrodisiacs purported to get women in a sexual mood and give men strong erections.
Okay, okay. So, horny goat weed from the gas station bathroom.
Yeah, let me get that stacker too, the world's strongest fat burner. Let me get some of those fly pills behind the counter.
I want whatever Jeff Goldblum was fucking on.
Yeah, if I could get the transformation, like, just up until he fucked a lot.
You know what? But I'll even say this. Just give me up until, like, if I could just be, like, a powerhouse sexual, just the most sexually active with the most mm-hmm. prowess, I think I would accept up to, like, my fingernails falling out. I'd be like, I can wear gloves. Like, I can wear gloves.
That's like a conversation starter. Yeah. Hey, did you see that I don't have any fingernails? You want to fuck? Let's fuck about it.
But he also just goes to a bar and treats that woman Tawny. He's like, "You're coming home with me. I'm gonna break
property.
This, I'm gonna break this guy's arm and then go home with you." And she's like, "Okay."
Is the movie? Is it Over the Top? Where they? It's an arm wrestling movie.
Yes, he wins that every time.
See a crossover with Over the Top and The Fly, where he snaps Stallone's arm. I want the transformation to stop right after I snap that guy's arm in the bar.
Be like, okay, that's enough. That's enough. That's such an I'd forgotten about that part. I remembered all the gross stuff that's gonna happen here in a minute, but I forgot that he just fucking breaks a dude's forearm in half.
Yeah. Well, $100, and I get to take the girl home for the night. Well, doesn't she have a say in it?
Like, no. It's the 80s. Women didn't have rights until they still don't. So, I don't know. I'm not saying it's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm just saying it's not great.
Well,
not
she
great
seemed
we
to also go along with it. I don't think she was forced to do anything. But
I like the way we're breaking down. Tawny did consent to having sex with the fly man. She was so it's where we all are above board on the consent of the woman in the fly.
She was wearing the denim and nothing else. And if that's not a go ahead, I don't know what it is.
We called that a Canadian birthday suit.
That's good. I like that. Yeah.
Mike Van B, buddy, Canada. You ever had the old lady put on the Canadian birthday suit?
I'm wearing the denim just how you like.
Got some extra rivets on it for you, Daddy.
I got the denim stockings just how you like.
God. Oh, just imagine sexy jort stockings. Oh, God. It's like I'm turned on by a Lady John Cena right now.
Yeah, so he's like snapping arms because he goes out and he's super horny and... Like, they're banging a lot. Like, she said, we've been doing it for hours. How do you not have any fluid left in your body? And he's not done.
And then he drinks a Prime from Logan Paul and really gets it back going again.
It is weird that the fly and I had the same diet. Just sugar, bunch of shit laying around that you shouldn't be eating.
Just sugar and chocolate. But that's why you are the sexual powerhouse we see before us.
Yeah, man, I got lots of fluid. It's mostly water retention. But
you know it's too much sex when the girl who's clearly like the bar fly is like, can we slow down? Can we go to breakfast? I'd like to put a pancake in me, please.
Yeah, like he's super horny, and I didn't know that about flies.
Are they? Is that
I don't know. Maybe that's just a thing that they threw in there.
Yeah.
I doubt that was in the Vincent Price one.
Vincent Price isn't even the fly in the movie. He's just very sexually active.
Just got a magnifying glass up to it watching.
And there'll be food, drink, and ghosts. And you're like, what? Okay. I guess
his erection grew three times that. That's not even Vincent Price. That's I'm thinking of... What's his dick? Played
the
Frankenstein. Yeah, yeah.
Boris Karloff?
Yeah, I get those confused. Shut up.
No, you're fine.
Let's move on. Move on.
All right, let's talk.
I said move on.
I'm moving on. I'm trying to move. I'm trying to keep this train a moving.
I'm embarrassed. I won't edit it out.
She does say, I do think this movie does become very scary. I know at the end of the episode we always say, is this movie scary? This is a very scary movie. There's one scene in particular. There is a whole subplot about getting an abortion because Brundlefly got Gina Davis knocked up. And if this were in Alabama, she unfortunately has to give birth to the fly's baby.
The larva or whatever.
She has to give the pupa, I believe.
Sure.
But there's a whole abortion subplot, and I don't get jump scared a lot. When he jumps through that fucking window, it got me so good because it is alarming. At this point, his fingernails have fallen off. He's got
teeth.
He ain't got no teeth.
God, that's a nightmare I have on a regular basis. My teeth fall out.
Oh yeah, that's a very common one. That means that you are stressed. That's a that's a stress dream, and I'm stressed all the time. So I have the teeth falling out dream a lot all the time. Mm-hmm. I have to wake up and feel my chompers. And then I also have a dream where I'm about to fail a class and not be able to graduate college.
Man, you have a lot of college trauma. I always have a dream that I missed a radio shift from college. And when you miss or are late to a radio shift in college, your letter grade goes down one.
Is that a real thing that happened?
When I went to school, I didn't miss the shift, but that was like such a thing. For 4 years, don't miss a radio shift or don't be late because your grade automatically goes down one. So I'll have nightmares that I missed a radio shift.
Oh, man. Ugh. I worked in actual radio for like 8 years, and I'm like, I missed a few shifts, but it was never like, yeah, that's, oof, I feel bad for you, man.
Your letter grade goes down. Cumulus will do that to you.
That's probably why I got budget cut.
Probably.
My letter grade just got so poor. They're like, we can't keep you anymore, sir. It's not automation and AI. It's because you are failing being an adult man.
Well, and Gina Davis has the nightmare that she's given birth to something, whatever that thing was.
Yeah. You know what, though? I think she should have. I mean, it, that could have been a doctor. That could have grown up to be a doctor, could have cured cancer. So she's just taking that chance away from that from the metapod she was giving birth to.
And you know the people that would force her to have birth would be the first to like, kill it. What the fuck is that thing?
Is that a fly? What? Is that a larvae?
Baptize it and then kill it. Also, the gynecologist, I think it was the doctor during that scene, is David Cronenberg.
Okay. Yeah, the late night abortion guy. That's when you know things are going a little bit awry. When they're like, it's like 2 a.m. Why do you need an abortion done right now?
No, I kind of need it now.
They're like,
never good.
They're like, the baby might be deformed because the dad is deformed. And they're like, okay.
Yeah, and like the guy's gonna do it.
Yeah, like, okay, but Jeff, this is when the main part of the movie. Like we had the line "Be afraid, be very afraid," which is a classic, iconic line from all of movies. I love that. The ending of this is so fucking gross. Mm-hmm. It is so gross and upsetting. How do you put this up against the best grossest effects in The Thing? Which has the better effects, this or The Thing?
Oh, I haven't watched The Thing recently, but I still go with The Thing. Yeah, The Thing. But this is still really good.
Yeah. I think I picked this over The Thing just because of the sheer scale of how they move Brundlefly around. Mm-hmm. I think just the way they're able to get it going because, he is... When he takes Stathis... And vomits all over him. And this, like, Stathis is an asshole. He's a jealous ex-boyfriend. He does not deserve what's happening to him. He does not deserve to have his hand melted and his foot melted by the fly. It is some of the most graphic ugh, it is
blah,
but because it's gross, but it's also disgusting. If that makes sense, like there's gross and there's disgusting, mm-hmm. and this is both of those.
Yeah, it's just a mouthful of stuff coming out, and he's like melting his foot off. He's melting his hand off,
mm-hmm.
and it's like that's how he eats. Is you got to dissolve the food because he can't eat solid food.
Yeah. Ugh. You know that. You know what though? There's probably still some woman out there who saw Jeff Goldblum as half fly and was like, "I could fix him."
Oh my God! Look at him. He's just got all the right hairs in all the right places.
He just oozes with charisma.
He and like he knows he's changing, and he's scared. But also, I don't know if it's Jeff Goldblum or the fly that is like embracing this change and like is constantly pushing her to also go through the teleporter, because that was my question: is does like the fly give him some kind of crazy ego that thinks he's becoming perfect, or do you think the teleporters are making him kind of like in The Invisible Man? It makes you go crazy a little bit, you know?
Because I think
even he does the transfer, he transports for the other, the bar lady too.
Mm-hmm. I think at that point. Oh, man, that's a good point. Because I don't know if a fly would make him go crazy, because a fly is not that smart. So it'd give him, like, the kind of agility and stuff. But, like, as far mm-hmm. as brain, it's probably making his brain more oozy. But I think the teleporter itself probably inflated his ego a lot,
yeah.
and made him think he's a god. Because look at what he's done now. Look mm-hmm. at what the perfect specimen he is. Because he tries to get Gina Davis to go through the teleporter. He tries to get Tawny to go through the teleporter.
Yeah.
And she's like,
he goes through again. You
yeah.
know,
like, he's just like, that's. It's like when somebody goes on a carnival ride and they like it too much. You're like, you've been on the Scrambler 49 times now, Dave. I'm going to need you to stop. But just come on. Get on the Scrambler.
It's like Eddie. It's like the faculty when they're like, it's better over here.
Yeah, and you're like,
join us.
Yeah, and then he manages to make a third pod where he wants to merge himself, Gina Davis, and their baby together to be like the perfect family. And you're like, what are you talking about? Yeah,
that's like some weird Resident Evil shit.
Yeah.
Or like, what was the movie, Slither?
Yes, where you gotta
like make mm-hmm. a monster thing, and again, it's all like we could be together and be perfect.
Yeah, and it's like, no, I don't think I want that. I don't think I want that for anything.
Yeah, I don't want to merge with your fly ass.
Yeah, and then we have the where he's trying to he puts her in the thing, and you're like, is this gonna happen? Mm-hmm. What's gonna and just when he finally goes full fly, and the skin breaks off, and he's got the little bug head. And it is just, it is chef's kiss of disgusting.
Oh, yeah, because he's gooey and oozy.
Yeah.
He looks like a honey bun. Like a honey bun.
Don't ruin honey buns. Don't ruin honey buns. I love a honey bun.
So it's like right out of the microwave.
Oh, God, he's very gooey, gooey. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And at that point, he's still like, do you think he's more fly or do you think Seth is still in there?
I think maybe he's always going to be in there a little bit, but he's more fly physically. Yeah. And like he catches that fly early in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think a little bit of him was in that fly?
No, I think I don't think the fly came out. I think that it merged because
he catches the fly though. Remember?
Yeah. That's a different fly though.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a different fly. Because the computer says that he fully merged.
Okay,
he said,
they did the fusion dance.
They did the fusion dance. Or they had the earrings. So either they become either they became Gogeta or Vegito.
Too many references.
All right, wrestling, anime, deep cut Doug references from Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
The Potaro earrings, actually, if you want to get really... God, why do I know
that?
Oh,
God, you're a fucking nerd.
I'm a
you're
weeb.
You're a nerd.
Call me a weeb. That's what I am.
Let's talk about this movie, nerd.
Yeah. but then finally, yeah, he tries to put her in there, and then good old Stathis manages to get his one hand and, like, shoot the cords. And then I think the most horrifying thing is that the fly tries to get out, and then the teleporter teleports him and part of the teleporter and fuses them together.
Yeah, you'd think that'd be another fail-safe thing of, hey, the door's open.
Yeah.
Your car tells you when the door's open. You know, like...
Yeah, if you have you ever tried to microwave something with the door open? It doesn't work.
I gotta try that.
Microwave with the door open?
Yeah, I'm gonna hold the little... Hold my thumb over it and see if it goes. That'll end.
Oh, no. Here comes Terhune Fly now. He stood in front of the microwave and a fly got in there.
He merged with a banquet frozen dinner.
No. Oh, God. Brent will never fill you up. He'll never fill you up.
The hungry man has become a hungry man. I've got my own gravy.
Oh, no. Where's the brownie? I don't want to know where the brownie is.
It's right here where you think it is.
Oh, no. Not the hungry man brownie, Brent.
Ow! I'm howling at the moon for no reason.
Today's sponsor, by the way, Banquet Frozen Dinners. Thank you so much for being our sponsor today.
The least good frozen dinner out there.
We didn't say that. That's their slogan, actually.
Do you like sodium? Banquet Frozen Dinners. God, I love a banquet dinner.
God, I just love sodium.
Yeah, that's good. So, like, he's, like, half out of the thing and then gets transported, and then he's, like, all mangled up. Even more, like, that's saying something because he was a fly.
Yeah.
And then he comes out and he's all gooey, and she's going to shoot him with the shotgun. And then he puts it to himself. So I think we see that Seth is in there a little bit.
Yeah.
Kill me.
It took a lot, though. He was part fly, fingernails falling out. I'm okay. I can make this work. His head busts open. He becomes an actual fly. I can make this work. It's not until he's fused with an actual door and part of his machine that he's like, yeah. All right, maybe kill me now.
There's no going back. Do you think he would have gotten the wings? Eventually?
Maybe. It depends.
We didn't see the full transformation.
Yeah. Did somebody ring a bell?
Yes.
Okay.
Cause... Teacher says every time someone rings a bell, Jeff Goldblum gets his wings.
I think he probably would have eventually gotten the wings. But that's how the movie ends. It just ends with her gunning down her former lover while she cries. There's no there's no epilogue. There's just a man with a gooey ankle and a gooey hand and Geena Davis crying after shooting a man. Apparently he had explosives in his head too, because his head, David Cronenberg loves an exploding head.
Well, it was a shotgun blast at close range, but it ended very much like some of those Universal Monster movies where, like, soon as the wolf man dies, roll credits.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those old movies, soon as the thing dies, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was no, and then they live happily ever after type deal. Because she still had the baby, right? In her.
Yeah. Yeah, so
there's a sequel to this, right?
Yeah, there is the fly too, which I've never seen, but I think it does follow, like, that baby.
Okay.
I think it does follow the fly's baby.
Do you think, like, let's say we're just talking about this one. Do you think she had the fly in her? Like, there's a fly baby in her?
Is that like when somebody says they got that dog in them?
I got that dog in me.
Referring to the Costco hot dog, by the way. That's the dog I got in me. She got that fly in her. I think she, I don't know. I don't know what happened to his balls during this whole process.
I just can't imagine. I just met this guy. Are we to believe that this happens pretty quick? This isn't over the course of months, right?
This is like maybe a week and a half, probably.
You letting this dude just bust in?
You gotta let him, like, nut and run.
Boom. It's been a while since we had a nut and run.
Nut and run, but that's he ultimately nuts and runs. He nuts, turns into a fly, and then runs by getting shot in the face with a shotgun.
I like, just, you just met this dude and then just no nothing. This guy's a scientist and he's like, I'll just raw dog it.
It's for science though.
Ugh.
He's like, for science, my penis just can't feel anything, baby.
Yeah, come on, baby. Just, and it's also however many times they did it that day, because he's the super fly, you know?
Yeah, he's the super duper fly.
Jimmy Superfly, Jeffy Superfly Gold.
See, I was making a, we've made so many wrestling, and I was making another hip-hop reference about Missy Elliott, the Super Duper Fly.
Yeah, yeah.
So, this is now a hip-hop wrestling anime podcast that also talks about horror movies.
We have any other stuff that we need to talk about, really?
Well, we
had that abortion angle. We didn't really talk about it. That was 86.
Yeah.
I assume abortion was legal.
Then, I mean,
right?
Yeah, Roe v. Wade was still in effect. So, yeah, she could. A woman's body was her choice back then, or allegedly.
Now it's up between. It's up to her fly overlord and the state she lives in.
Bundlefly has to consent to the termination of the pregnancy.
Sir, just vomit on the line if you consent.
Do you want to have the baby? Sir, I believe that says yes. Yes, that, yep.
Mm-hmm. That's my baby. I will love it.
Well, and we even, we had Black Christmas. There's not a lot of, like, abortion storylines in horror, even though, like, I don't know if that's, like, too real for most movies, but rarely do you go, let's get an abortion in a horror movie, you know?
Yeah, I'm trying to think if Rosemary's Baby maybe dealt with it a little bit, or...
I don't know if she was going to get an abortion or not in that. She knows something's wrong.
Mm-hmm. The only movies I can the only things I can think of that have abortion off the top of my head are Black Christmas, The Fly, and the Benfold song Brick. That's about
Day After Christmas.
My favorite Day After Christmas song. The abortion thing was like, it's very progressive, but I don't know. I would have liked to have seen that, but Brundlefly, he's very possessive and like wanted to have the baby because he wanted them to be a family.
And for, you know, Jeff Goldblum's like, that's the only part of me that's actually left.
Mm-hmm. Kind of sad, really.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
You feel bad for him, but he did it to himself.
Mm-hmm. Would you like some fun facts about this movie?
Hell yeah.
All right. David Cronenberg was surprised when the film was seen by some critics as a cultural metaphor for AIDS, since he intended originally for the film to be a more general analogy for disease itself, terminal conditions like cancer, and more specifically, the aging process. So yes, as I get older, I am 6 years older than when I first saw this. That's why now I'm like, oh God, I feel like I'm dying more.
Less hair places, more hair other places.
Mm-hmm.
Your fingernails will falling out and all that stuff. You're hurt.
I hurt. The fly's vomit was made from honey, eggs, and milk.
Oh, can you send that recipe over?
Yeah. Apparently, it was Mel Brooks who came up with the line, be afraid, be very afraid.
Mel Brooks, the comedian?
Yeah. And finally, it took about nearly 5 hours to apply the most extensive makeup stages to actor Jeff Goldblum.
That's pretty good makeup, though. It reminds me of, I haven't seen it, but the Hunchback of Notre Dame, like the old one, the black and white one.
I thought you were talking about makeup. I thought you were talking about the Disney movie, and I was like, you know, that's not, you know, they're cartoons, right?
No, I can't tell the difference between live action cartoons.
Would you say? Go ahead.
There was a lot. They had a lot of them Dalmatians in that movie. I don't know how they trained all of them, especially the puppies.
Well, if a baboon's $40, a Dalmatian's what, like $150?
That baboon was actually one of the baboons from Lion King.
Oh, good times. All right. So, is this movie scary, Brent?
Yeah. And it's scary because it's ooey and gooey, but it's more so what, I don't know, the ego can do to you and how far you're willing to go because of it.
Yeah. I think it's scary because there's a very deep primal fear about having something inside you that you cannot control or that's killing you slowly, either whether it be disease or aging or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just very, not being able to fight something is like the scariest thing.
Yes, you know, especially when it's realistic that you could lose a tooth or like even yes. that stuff you can kind of fix and control, but not to mention cancer or aging, stuff like that, where it's like you can't even fight that at a molecular level. It's just going to happen, you know?
Just going to happen. Mm-mm-mm. What was your oh shit moment of this?
I think maybe when he vomited all over the guy's arm and leg.
Yeah, that's a good one. I think my oh shit moment was either when he jumps through the window at the hospital, because I literally got a jump scare because I forgot about it. Or when he breaks the guy's arm at the diner, at the bar.
So is there? Was anybody dead in this movie? Just the last, the fly.
Yeah, just the fly. So I think him getting his head blowed up is my favorite kill of the movie.
Yeah, that's a good one. Because it was the only one, but it's still a good one.
And then something I did for Nightmare on Elm Street that I want to do on this: the original Rotten Tomatoes score for The Fly, 1958, was a 95%.
Okay.
And then what do you think the Rotten Tomatoes for this was?
So the original one was 90, you said 95?
95%. People loved it.
This is 98%.
This is 93%.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So technically worse than the original, but it's not. It is not. Yeah.
And this is not like, I don't think people throw this movie out as like, what's your favorite? I don't think too many people say The Fly.
Yeah.
You might.
It's one of my favorites, but it's not one I can watch a lot because it's a little slower than it's a very fast paced movie, but it's very bleak and it's not very fun. It's definitely not a party movie.
No, like let's watch this guy die essentially. Doesn't that sound fun?
Yeah, I did wait till after this movie was over to eat though. I did. I was like, I can only eat during like a Saw movie. I can't eat during this.
We, just for time purposes, we did have to eat, so, during this, so.
What'd you have?
We had chicken, meatballs, and broccoli, and macaroni and cheese.
Oh, very Italian.
Covered in my vomit.
So, and then slurped up through a straw.
I like to get the spirit of the movie if I'm watching.
Yes.
So I threw up all over it, so.
There we
and
go.
And I added a bunch of sugar to it.
For no sugar reason. Water.
Sugar water. I think that's it. Gavin, what are we watching next week?
We're going to watch one of your favorites that mm-hmm. you have been championing, and then we're going to do a little bit of a double feature with the next 2 weeks. Next week, we're going to watch the Night of the Living Dead remake, mm-hmm. and then we're going to watch one of my favorites, the 2004 Dawn of the Dead remake.
Oh, yeah. Back to back.
Yeah.
Living Dead movies.
And then we won't watch the Day of the Dead remake because it's bad.
Probably. Yeah, it's like that's the stepchild of the three.
Yes,
both like the first time and the second time.
Yeah, everybody forgets that it's like Night of the Living Dead, great. Dawn of the Dead, great. There's a Day of the Dead? There's a whole thing with a guy named Bub, it's fine, but yeah, it's kind of the stepchild for sure.
Bub would have made a great iPod commercial back in the day. Because he got to listen to the headphones in that movie.
Yes. Yes, he would have. But yeah, that's it. Be sure to subscribe to patreon.com/ They're Coming to Get You. Please leave us a review on iTunes or Spotify. All of it helps us a ton and we appreciate it.
Aren't we doing a bonus episode too sometime? We don't know exactly when it'll be out, but it's only going to be on Patreon.
We're going to do a Patreon exclusive bonus episode for a movie. Our first time doing, well, we did Charlie Brown as well, but we're going to do Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey Patreon exclusive episode just in time for Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey Part 2.
I can't wait till we get all these horror movies, these public domain horror movies. We're going to be getting so many Steamboat Willie, Mickey Mouse horror movies.
There's two already announced.
I thought I told you to bite the curb, huh?
Ha ha, listen, I want you to, I'm really going to get steamy in here.
I always thought it would be funny to have a mashup of Mickey Mouse and American History X.
God.
So that's why I said, I thought I told you to bite the curb, huh?
Bite the curb. You know what this says? It means not welcome. It's not.
It means not welcome.
It's after Mickey Mouse wins the court from the black people in the neighborhood. He's like, this means not welcome. It's like, Mickey, why do you have a swastika? And he's like, because Walt gave it to me.
Oh, Papa. So I think that's it. We're on Patreon, as Gavin said, and thanks for being here, as always, dear listeners.
I about to say, there's nowhere else to go once it'd be like Mickey Mouse wants to get time to wrap it up.
They're coming to get you, ha! Barbara!
They're coming to get you. They're coming for you, Barbara.
They're coming to get you.